So, things that my mother taught me, these are actual counts. My mother taught me logic. Quote, if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you will never get a good job. That's pretty dire, don't you think? Talk about pressure, huh? My mother taught me ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold? My mother taught me to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't you talk back to me. My mother taught me humor. When the lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. Oh, my gosh. I think I've heard almost all these. My mother taught me about sex. How do you think you got here? That explains everything, doesn't it, huh? My mother taught me about genetics. Now, this one I've heard. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about the wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you will understand. Now, that's really true. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when you get home. And my all-time favorite thing, justice. One day when you have kids, I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. Boy, that's an ominous one, isn't it, huh? Yeah. And how about this? This is just part of the zaniness, too, associated with moms. You know, these are excuses that mothers wrote for their children about why they missed school. Dear school, please excuse John from being absent in January 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, 32nd, and also 33rd. Yeah. That's more than a leap year, if you ask me, but please excuse Johnny for being. It was his father's fault. You can just see mom's skirt, you know, writing these things out real fast, you know, get them in the... Mary could not come to school because she was bothered by very close veins. So I don't know what that means, but... John has been absent because he had two teeth taken off of his face. That sounds painful, morbid, a whole bunch of things there. Lily was absent from school yesterday because she had a going over. My son is under the doctor's care and should not take Physga Ed. Please execute him. So she was worried about him not taking phys ed, but she did want him to be executed. So I don't know. Sounds a little confused. Carlos was absent yesterday because he was playing football. He got hurt in the growing part. Poor Carlos. That one got passed around the school, I am sure. My daughter was absent yesterday because she was tired. She spent the weekend with the Marines. I don't know how you live without it. Oh, my gosh. I know. All right, next. Please excuse Joyce from PE for a few days. Yesterday, she fell off a tree and misplaced her hip. Oh, my. All right, please excuse Ray Friday from school. He has very loose vowels. The shame of that. Can you imagine that kid running around with loose vowels? Marianne was absent December 11th through the 16th because she had a fever, sore throat, headache, and upset stomach. Her sister was also sick, fever, and sore throat. Her brother had a low-grade fever and ached all over. I wasn't the best either with a throat and fever. There must be a flu going around. Her father even got hot last night. All right, the final one, please. Yeah. Did you write any of these, Bev? I'm just wondering. Please excuse Sarah from being absent. She was sick and I had her shot. So I think she had her shots is what she was trying to say. But yeah. Well, anyway, look, I mean, we all try hard, but mothers just try really hard. They try hard to be a great spouse. They try hard to be a great mother. And I think that, you know, mothers oftentimes can be very hard on each other because, you know, I think that sometimes they are hard on each other in terms of how they see how other mothers raise their kids and things that they think and say and those kinds of things. And then you're very conscientious and you desperately love your child. And so you do all these things. And sometimes it gets a little zany. It gets a little wacky when you try to do everything that you feel like you ought to be doing for your kids, for your grandkids and things like that. And by the way, I do want to say, and Bev alluded to it, the office of fatherhood and the office of motherhood was ordained by God. It's what He gave to us. He gave us a man and a wife. And out of those two, there's the office of fatherhood and there's the office. And I know that in our culture we want to blur those. But on the other hand, I think that there's an argument to be made for saying that that there's something about a person who's more than just a biological mother. Amen. There are women out there who are terrific mentors, and they really are, in fact, mothers for many children or young adults. And they don't know, and those people wouldn't know what they would do without those women in their lives who mothered them. I can tell you that both as a youth minister and as a college professor, that I spent a tremendous amount of time with young men and who had difficult relationships with their fathers. And so I was a father to them. And they were just, I mean, they were so hungry and needy for an older adult male to have input into their life in the way a father would. And I see the same thing for many older women who do the same kind of thing, you know. So there are all kinds of moms, in many respects. And so I just think that if you are that kind of a person, thank you for being that. Amen. And if you have that kind of a person in your life, thank them for being that to you. You know, and I'm going to say more about that as we go on. But I do want to say this about Proverbs 31. many of you have heard Proverbs 31 a lot. My mother never felt really good about herself every time she heard it read. Some of you have not heard Proverbs 31. You're not as familiar with it. And after you did hear it, you think, oh, how could I ever meet that standard? I'll explain it to you. So, because I have some slides and it might be helpful if I just work my way through those. It was a woman's description of a woman's role as told by King Lemuel. This is what his mother said to him. It was traditionally recited by husbands and children on the Sabbath table on Friday night. So every Friday night, this was a way of educating young men about the kind of woman that they ought to pursue. We settle too much in our relationships. I mean, we don't keep standards high about the kind of people that we should pursue as a lifelong mate. And maybe sometimes, maybe sometimes we do that because we don't feel that we're worthy of a person that is more virtuous or better behaved or more intelligent or whatever, more spirit, whatever it is. But we settle. And this is a recitation that says, don't settle. Don't settle for somebody that isn't committed to these kinds of ideals in life. Pursue somebody that's excellent in all that they do. Now, what would happen, do you think, in our culture if all of us set for ourselves high ideals? That doesn't mean we're always going to meet them, but we strive for the best and relationally. We strive for that. What kind of an impact do you think that would have generationally in our culture if that's what we sought, if that's what we had our children do? Can you imagine then not only would it impact the quality of the life of our children, but it would be the kind of thing that would sort of saturate the culture so that it would educate others so that they would want to do the same thing. They would realize that they really can't kind of have a spouse unless they commit themselves to excellence as well. So that was kind of the purpose of this particular thing, was to educate young children, particularly young males. The woman presented here is that of a wealthy aristocrat who runs a household estate with servants and conducts businesses, business affairs, real estate, vineyards, merchandise, as well as domestic affairs and charity. And I always appreciated this part because there's this perception that the Bible is oppressive to women. And when this particular thing was written, which would have been maybe around 600 years before the birth of Christ, here's a woman who's conducting affairs. I mean, these would be the same kinds of things you would expect a woman in today's culture to do. So apparently she had the kind of relationship with the husband where they had this partnership where she was just given tremendous freedom to exercise a lot of authority and a lot of power over the household in very profound ways, and that she was very good at it. She was very good at it. This woman is presented in part as an idealized wife, as well as a final contrast as a symbol of wisdom, a contrast to the woman of folly found elsewhere in the preceding chapters of Proverbs. So in other words, if you were to read Proverbs, you read about the woman of folly who oftentimes is depicted as a prostitute, who's trying to beguile young men and to get them to live virtuously. This idealized woman is presented in stark contrast to that kind of a woman. And basically they're saying, don't pursue that kind of woman for your life, but rather pursue this woman who has these kinds of virtues in her life. And I would say, and I think it's fair to say to women, don't pursue some like needy guy that isn't disciplined, that doesn't have his act together. Don't pursue that. Don't settle for that kind of a person. You've been made in the image of God. Pursue another imageness like you. Because when you settle, then you're compromised. And if you're compromised, you really can't be what you really were created to be. So those were some. I just think those are some very powerful sort of lessons in that particular section of the Bible, Proverbs 31, where King Solomon is including it in his Proverbs so that we can learn from it and we can set some standards and some ideals for ourselves. You know, in a culture where everything is okay, where everything is ought to be accommodated, when there's no critique, you can't really, in a good way, judge what is good or what is bad, then there's no ascent. I mean, there's no getting better. And I don't think that's how we should be. It doesn't mean that we judge those people. It just means that for ourselves, we set standards for ourselves so that we become more than what we are. And part of those standards ought to be a person in our life who can challenge us in every good way. And I'd say that to young adults here. You know, if you're in high school or if you're in college, I know what high school's like, and I know what I was a youth minister for 16 years, and I was in college and taught in college for 16 years. I know what young adults do. I know how they make their decisions. And oftentimes we make poor choices because we're afraid. We're afraid that if we don't make this choice, there'll be no other choice. Well, fear is rarely a good reason to make any important choice. We make choices, and we make important choices because it's what's best for us. It's what makes us more. It's what completes us. And if it means we have to wait a bit, then we wait a bit. Because by waiting a bit and being maybe a little bit miserable for a short period of time, it's worth that than making a poor choice and having a lifelong misery with somebody that you never should have gotten together with. Now, look, and I understand that there are some people that, and I want to be sensitive to the fact that there are some people who have had difficult times in their marriage relationships and all those kinds of things. And I'm really not trying to address that right now. I'm trying to address the front part of that. That's what I'm trying to address. And young adults especially, about how you make those choices and decisions. And there are any number of people here who, if they were given the opportunity, would say amen to that. They've been through it. They've experienced it. Take your time. Pick the right person. Set some standards that are good for you. Not impossible standards, but good and healthy ones. So, so that's what King Lemuel is trying to get across in that regard. Now, I just wanted a couple people to come up and share a little bit about their just some testimonies about their experiences regarding their moms, and what I asked them to do was I just said, look, when you think about your mother, and what particular virtue related to your mother did you observe or see that you admired and respected and that you've included in your life? And so I've asked Frank Schuster and one other person to come forward. So Frank, why don't you go first, and then after they're done, I'll have a few more comments to make as well. So.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all these lovely women. I know you'll hear that all day, but that's okay. I just want you to know that I'm really happy to be here and be able to spend the first part of the day with y'all. Pastor asked me to think back to my growing up days with my mom and some of the things that she did for me, and I can tell you she taught me really well. She taught me so well that people have called me mother several times, and so, I learned well. But my mom is she's alive and doing well today. She's a vibrant 85 years old, and today she's celebrating her 60th Mother's Day. So, God bless her. I wish she was here with us this morning, but she's not. And but it doesn't. Put aside the things that I learned from her. I'm the second of four children that my mom and dad were blessed with. And my mom always did a really great job of getting us to church. So I have to say that every week, that was one thing that we learned from the time we were babies, that we were going to be in church. And it wasn't in this church, but it was a church. And that was really important to grow up in a church. That meant a lot, being surrounded by others that had a faith and believed in God. And she made sure that we sat in the front pew every week, and that was our cue to not misbehave, or we were going to get taken out by our ear. But so my mother had, she still has a beautiful heart. She never has anything bad to say about anybody. So, all through life you're around a lot of people all the time, and sometimes you'll hear people gossiping or whatever you want to call it. But my mom's way to diffuse that was just not talk. She wouldn't say anything. I mean, if she didn't have something good to say about somebody, she wouldn't say anything. So she had a big impact on molding my growth. Early on, I used to spend countless hours with her. I loved being with her in the kitchen. I don't know if it was because I just needed to be with her, or if it was because I just liked eating or whatever it was. But she taught me how to cook early, and it was for real, whenever I was like 6 years old, I used to cook my brother and I hamburgers on Saturday mornings whenever they would still be in bed sleeping, and I would always be firing up the skillet, and thankfully never burned a house down. But, you know, I had learned early on how to do those things. But what when I thought back, what it was with my mother was she was she has such a giving and loving heart. She's a servant. She's a great servant, and I think that's what she bestowed on me. She bestowed on me the want to help and serve others. And as I look back through my career, that's what it's been all about. You know, trying to do the things that would help other people, whether it was in church, whether it was at work, whether it was friends in need. You know, she just taught that. My mother was involved with, you know, obviously raising four children was a handful, especially when the first two were boys. You know, she had her work cut out for us, or for her, but she did a great job and was still involved with, you know, different fraternity organizations and the football mothers and the youth this or youth that, very involved at church, helped with the pierogi project for years, still does. So, you know, as I saw all the things she did, and it made her feel good, and it helped others, and I used to just be so proud of being able to watch her, and that's what I wanted for myself. So I tried to emulate my life around that part of it, was the giving and serving. So that's what I think my mom bestowed on me. Teresa Josephine Baum Schuster.
All right, brother. Thank you, brother. Yep, thank you. And any of you know Frank, he is a servant. I mean, he is a servant. Yesterday, he was in charge of all the food for the ladies' tea, and he just goes around the kitchen, doesn't get flustered, just things get done, and it's just really amazing. If you've ever had the advantage of him cooking for you, so many things he cooks well, but my favorite so far, and so there need to be other attempts to, you know, but... Are the red skin potatoes that he makes, the hash. Oh, my gosh. They're just the best. So, anyway, our next person is Phil Locker. Phil, why don't you come up and share?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do better than Frank, but ever since I was little, I've always wanted to be with my mom. I ended up going to school a year late because of it. She took me to kindergarten. I was like, no, I'm not going. Okay, you can come home with me for one more year. So I was always the oldest in my grade. My mom, it means the most to me in my life, my mom and my dad, but mostly my mom. I mean, like, I have all of her traits, you know, like, I have her eyes because, you know, I'm blind. I have her feet because they hurt all the time, but it's okay. I love you anyway, Mom. I wouldn't have it any other way, even though I won't be able to walk and see when I'm 60. So, The most virtue that I get from my mother is how to nurture and how to love people, because that's what she has taught me throughout the years, and how to love Jesus and how to love people and just how to take care of people, I guess. Through food, through talking with someone, just expressing Jesus' love to people. I'm where I'm at today because of her in my faith. So I'd like to say thanks, Mom. You've nurtured me, Amy, and Matt through thick and thin. You've stood by our sides my side. Especially the thick, the very thick, you know. And I love you. Thank you very much. Amen. Shout out to all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day.
Did I get you, Bonnie? Good, good. Well, look, and so this really underscores a point. Amen. That, you know, for a lot of times the focus is on a person who's currently a mother. But we all have mothers. We should all honor our mother. Our mothers have made tremendous sacrifices. They have obviously risked their life in many cases to give us birth.